It's your special guest host on CliffCentral.com.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Cliff Central. I'm Shemaine Harris.
And I'm Liesl Tom, and this is Beyond Ears and Eyes on Cliff Central.
And our producer today is Duncan Mabaso.
Hello, nice to see you guys.
About Liesl?
Well, Shemaine, you obviously have not watched The X-Files, everything that's weird and wonderful and out there.
Mystical.
For me, has always had this ring. Well, this was my ringtone for a very long time. So for me.
Oh, how weird you are! How weird! This was your ringtone.
This was my ringtone because the truth is out there.
Hey, you're speaking truth right now. Listen, but talking about that, this is actually why we're here today. We're here to talk about things that we don't always see, things we don't necessarily want to hear, but it's out there and people are starting to actually become conscious of these things. And there's this whole thing where you go and you say it now, as odd as it sounds. We're not afraid to be different. And this is why we're here today, to speak about things which are beyond eyes and ears. And so what are we talking about?
Well, today we are going to look at spiritism, spirituality, spiritualism. I don't know, something about spirits.
Something spirity.
Yeah, spirity.
Nothing to do with whiskey.
No, unfortunately not this time. Then we're going to look at the concept of walk-ins.
Uh-huh.
And for those of you who don't know, this is something that I find it extremely bizarre. It's when someone, another soul, takes over your body for an extended period or for a specific amount of time. And then we are going to talk about cleansing.
Mm-hmm.
Cleansing your space, clearing your body, getting rid of all the negative energy.
Yeah, as much as you can. And we're going to do that on a shoestring. You've probably got everything that you need to be able to do that. But that's going to come a little later on, closer to the end of the show. We have a guest, and her name is Vanessa Rothkell. And she's a healer. She lives in Cape Town at the moment, so we're actually Skyping with Vanessa in Cape Town. She's a healer. She's a psychic. I don't even quite know how to describe Vanessa because she has all these qualities and information. I mean, she's done so much, but I'm going to let her tell you a little bit more, and then we can start the conversation with the spiritualism, spirituality, spiritism, spirit what. Vanessa, are you there?
Yes, I am. Hello.
Hi, welcome. Welcome to Beyond Eyes and Ears.
Hi, Vanessa.
Hello, Liesl.
Thank you for joining us.
Uh-huh. So, Vanessa, did you hear a little bit of our introduction?
Yes, I did. I heard all of your introduction.
Oh, good. Because for a while we thought our line wasn't very good.
The X-Files theme is just—it just is outrageous. But okay.
Well, I hope I didn't offend you by that. We always try to make things a little bit lighter. Before we start, Vanessa, why don't you just tell us how you would describe yourself?
I would describe myself more as an intuitive, someone who's aware of those things beyond eyes and ears.
Mm-hmm.
And I use those skills in the work that I do as a transformational coach. So I don't only look at what's at face value in the physical, I look at other elements of a person as well to help them reach their full potential.
Mm-hmm. So can we start with our... Well, we unearthed the three or four different spirit-filled words. So Liesl and I.
Yes, I noticed.
You know what, Vanessa?
We went, what the hell?
When Shemaine told me we're talking about spiritism, I was thinking, spiritualism is such
a broad
church.
Throwing me under the bus?
And now
she's throwing me under the bus. It was a slip of the tongue. Do you know what I mean?
Okay.
You're throwing me under the bus, Lisa.
I think that's something that is completely understandable for people like us who don't deal with that on a day-to-day basis. So, Vanessa, please just, you know, clarify all these spirits
for us.
Okay,
let's go to the definition first. Okay. Spirituality is only your relationship with God or the universe, whatever you term it as. So that's spirituality. It's that total relationship that you have with divine power. Okay? Mm-hmm. Spiritism is a belief in a world of spirits, as in ghosts and disembodied spirits. And if you look at the Bible version of that, it also is the world of angels and demons. Mm-hmm. Okay,
yeah.
So there's a big difference between those two things. And spiritism in the early 19th century was the thing about Ouija boards and seances and trying to contact the spirit world, so talking to the deceased and so on. Most people who are fairly religious will stay away from that because the Bible tells you to not seek out spiritists. Uh-huh. Basically. And the reason for that is just to not create a belief in that, but to understand that there's you, there's God, and the relationship is there, not with the deceased or otherwise.
Mm-hmm. So not that they're saying there's
that's the difference between those two terms.
All right. So we've done spiritism, and then we've done spirituality, and then the spiritualism.
Mm-hmm.
How far does that take us?
Spiritualism is a combination of the two in a sense. And it's just really the whole idea that people want to believe that they are spiritual in whatever form that takes, whether it's the form of religion, the form of atheism, the form of whatever. That is basically spiritualism. It's just the house of beliefs that you subscribe to, basically.
Okay. Is it also correct if I say that spiritual, because we're going to go back to spirituality now, is it also correct when I say that spirituality is that relationship that you described, your relationship with God, and it's kind of like more in an introspective process than the religious one, where it's more external, but that the two do meet somewhere in the middle in terms of what you're comfortable with, where
correct.
You're going with who you are, and how you're living out your life on this earth, how you're asserting it, how you see others, and that type of thing.
Sure, but let's just differentiate between spirituality and religion. Spirituality is, in that overall sense, just the relationship between you and God,
mm-hmm.
whereas religion is the relationship between you and organization
mm-hmm.
and their subscription to the concept of God via their rules. You understand
Can I just step in there, Vanessa? I just want to make sure I understand this. Is religion spirituality combined with a certain dogma or framework?
Yes.
Okay.
Correct.
Gotcha. All right, so let's move on because we don't have much time left. We've got like about a half an hour left and we've still got a lot to do. So we're going
to
speak about the walking.
Lots to talk about.
Yes, lots to talk about. This one is an incredible one for me anyway. At the end, we're also going to ask you to stay until the end, Vanessa, because we want you to help us with, clearing space and cleansing the body.
Sure.
You're very good at that. You've done that. You taught me how to do that. And it's something practical that we can walk away with from here, and you can get some of those things in your
mm-hmm.
kitchen. Are you happy to stay with us?
Absolutely, no problem.
Fantastic. Now, the walk-ins. This is a term that we hear. This is a term we hear more and more and more. But, you know, some people also call them the step-ins. And it's also like, you know, but it's basically that soul exchanges for specific reasons, specific times. And I want to know from your perspective, if you could just explain to us, what is a walk-in? Because this is something that you know very well.
Yep. Okay. Well, we on this planet have various dimensions that are operating simultaneously. You've got the physical one and then you've got the non-physical. Now, a walk-in is generally the occupation of a body by a spirit or a soul where the first or true occupant is either not present in that moment as a result of any kind of situation like a near-death experience, or there's an actual death, but the soul takes over that body as if it were an empty room. Mm-hmm. Okay? So this happens more often than people realize. You know, any kind of traumatic space where, like people who undergo surgery, a lot of times that is the prime space for a walk-in to occur. Or, you know, sometimes a person has become so apathetic to their own life that they actually have vacated their consciousness space, mm-hmm. and another soul will take occupancy. And in general, the person themselves isn't always aware of it until they're told things by other people, you know, because other people will relate and go, but you're not anything like you used to be before you went to hospital, or you're not the same as you were before your accident or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Vanessa, how will I know?
So other people are aware of it a long time before, yeah?
How
I didn't get that, Liesl?
Sorry, man. How will I know if it's happened to me? I mean, traumatic teenage years, you've really had enough, you think you want to get off this bus. How do I know that I haven't been walked in on or almost... I almost want to say
walked
hi. I almost want to say hijacked. How do I know someone else isn't using this body?
Okay, look, there are various ways of knowing this. One is your sense of things and your interaction with things changes, okay? Because it depends on what has walked in. That's also important to understand.
We're going to talk about that.
Because you've got higher level and lower level entities. It's a long story, but I'm trying to simplify as much as I can.
Right.
So if a higher level entity takes control, your interest is generally in the higher frequencies. You're more interested in humanitarianism. You're more interested in being loving to everybody. You know, it's all nice and fuzzy. But if it's from a lower level entity type, the person's energies become basically more negative, or they become a lot more selfish, externally focused, and so on. So it does depend on what it is. Now, if you have been occupied, generally, like I said, you won't necessarily know it. You'll just start noticing that your interests have changed. And they've, like I said, they've either changed to the higher frequency elements, or they've changed to the lower frequency elements.
Vanessa.
But it's more noticeable by the others.
Shemaine said initially that it's a soul exchange, a mutual agreement.
Correct.
Now, why on earth would anyone
Not necessarily mutual, because that's also what I wanted to find out. Because there's an occupation, like you say, and that's renegade. You know, if you're just going to go and occupy a space and you go, hello. But then the one that I do want, because that's scary. I mean, we can talk about that, but the one I do want to focus on more is the one where there is actually a higher purpose, where the one said, listen, I'm tired or I need to go. And they had this contract where you go, can I then in that case occupy your body? But then there is a contractual exchange. Do you know what I mean? And where the purpose, as you said, is for a higher where it's for a higher purpose, where it's not just somebody coming in and occupying space, but actually to either carry on your work or or something to that effect.
Sometimes.
I just wanted to know, you know, I just want to know why on earth anyone would let a lower entity into their body. I mean, I'm not going to give my car to a 13-year-old teenager. There's no way I'm giving this body to a lower entity.
But you're saying that consciously. A lot of times these things happen unconsciously, where someone has they've actually given up hope. They've given up control. They've given up. They've become victims in their own lives, in essence.
In a soul space.
That occupation, that occupation is as a result of that apathy. It's not by mutual agreement. It's the fact is the room was vacant. The other soul needed a space to be, and it took it up.
Okay, and that is hostile.
So you wouldn't choose though. It is hostile. It can be incredibly hostile.
Can that then go as a possession? Can we call that a possession?
Correct. That's what the religious people call a possession.
Mm-hmm. Because you weren't present in your body. So
you weren't there to say you can come in or not come in. You kind of gave it away, in a sense.
So what happened? Say I had a friend who was very ill at some point, and she would come and go, you know. But she came in as, you know, proper herself, even better. So who knows? Maybe she was a walk-in. But what she did was she would describe having gone to spaces and places that I can only just not even imagine fully. And then what happens then? Do you have a placeholder? Because I believe you get what is then called a placeholder. What kind of a contract happens there? What is that? Because then that can't be a possession, eh?
Okay, with placeholding, because this is a much bigger discussion than what we're just having right now. There are many aspects that go with it. Now, when you understand the journey of the soul, your soul is not present only in one place. It's multidimensional. And sometimes your soul will send the placeholder from another dimension to hold the space for you because your purpose on the planet has not been filled. Mm-hmm. It's not been completed, and therefore, for you're important in the grand scheme of things, and so they'll hold that place until you're capable of standing in it again. Okay, so with the case of the friend you're talking about, that's what happened with her.
Okay,
so her soul wanted her purpose to be fulfilled, so it allowed for another piece of her to fill it, so that she could come back to the space.
All right. Vanessa, we're going to take this conversation a little further right now. We just have to do some IDs. And also, I do want to say apologies for some of the sound qualities. The woman is surrounded by beautiful mountains in the Cape. So that's why we're having some interferences.
You're listening to Beyond Ears and Ears and Eyes, Ear Eyes and Ears on Cliff Central. You can call us on 0861-555-189 or send us a tweet at cliffcentral.com. You can also tweet me or Shemaine. Shemaine is Shemaneh at Shemaine H, and I'm Liesl Thom at LIEZLTHOM. If you want to send a tweet to Vanessa, she's at Vanessa Rothkel, VanessaRothkuel. We're talking about walk-ins and all the things that you can't always see.
Yeah. Also, just I do also want to give Vanessa's Gmail address. It's forevervanessa358@gmail.com. Forevervanessa358@gmail.com. You are on Cliff Central with Beyond Eyes and Ears with Liesl Thom and me, Shemaine Harris. Vanessa, we're taking this a little further. I don't know how many walk-ins you know. But apparently, Abe Lincoln had a shift.
We've had a big shift, and my mother also was one of those.
Mm-hmm. You guys do hear the X-Files in the background, right?
We hear it.
Because you have to understand that the sounds of it crazy. Come on, guys.
Abe Lincoln was a walk-in. Yes,
As a journalist by training, I would say he allegedly was a walk-in. Vanessa, how come they say he was a walk-in? Tell me more.
Vanessa? Okay, Duncan, does it look like we lost contact with Vanessa? Okay, it seems that we lost contact with Vanessa. So Liesl and I are on this topic now where we want to know from Vanessa why they say that Abe Lincoln had a replacement, a sole replacement. And we're going to try and wait for Vanessa to continue with that discussion. What do you think of this whole conversation? Are you convinced? Are you thinking we're just talking up in the air? And I know there are other people who are saying, well, what the hell I would.
Well, look, for me, I am interested in finding out more. I don't care if you believe in pink elephants. Mm-hmm. I just want you to tell me, what's it about? Mm-hmm. How on earth did you start believing this? Mm-hmm. And give me the details. I don't judge. I believe it's in our constitution that you have the right to believe whatever you want to believe. And I'm a firm supporter of the Bill of Rights in the Constitution. So, you know, believe what you will. It's not to say you're going to convince me.
Mm-hmm.
You believe it?
Do you know, you have a very, very healthy way of seeing things. And I'm going to plead the fifth on that one because we don't have time. We just don't have time right now because Vanessa's back. Vanessa, you're back.
I'm back. I didn't necessarily hear what Liesl said.
Uh-huh. But, she was talking absolute sense.
Yeah?
I was talking absolute sense, as always.
Basically, she was saying, I do. she was going, I don't know what this is all about, but I'm happy to hear. I'm happy to listen. You know, so she does that. She says, yeah, it doesn't matter whether you come in or go out on a pink elephant. What was that, Lee?
Yeah, I don't care if you believe in pink elephants. Vanessa, tell me about this very disturbing allegation Shemaine has made.
That what was that? And a soul exchange. The man was ill, but go back to Vanessa.
Uh-huh. Okay. What were we saying?
Tell us more.
You
about
asked me if I knew walk-ins. I said yes, I do. Uh-huh. I do, and my mom was one of them.
Uh-huh. Okay. Well, we can talk about your mother just now, but Abe Lincoln. That sounds just a bit crazy.
The story, no, but actually, the story is not about Abe Lincoln. He wasn't. He had predictive dreams, so he was a lucid dreamer more than he was a walk-in. He wasn't. He technically wasn't a walk-in. Let's just clear that.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay.
The one that you should be looking at is Thomas Jefferson.
Okay, it doesn't make it any better. Tell me more.
Go. That the whole Declaration of Independence, was written by whoever occupied him at that point in time. Because if you look at Thomas Jefferson, there are so many contradictions. He was a slaver. He owned slaves. He believed absolutely in the white man's right to own other people. And yet, if you read the Declaration of Independence, it is just so expansive. How does that happen from one person? You see what I'm saying? So from that point of view, the rumor has been, and it's been there for many, 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 many years, that Jefferson had periods where he was occupied.
Hmm. Only periods, not the entire time.
It wasn't the entire time at all. Okay. Because if you know the life of Thomas Jefferson, there's no way. If he had been occupied on a permanent basis, a lot of the things that happened would not have happened.
Mm. How common is it for a walk-in or a step-in to stay forever, to come and then stay forever? Oh, wow. You know what,
80% of the time.
Yeah. Sorry, our line's kind of crappy right now. So, but let's try again. Say that again. I asked you how...
80% of the time. So it's more often than not.
more often than not. But and how uncommon or unusual is this phenomenon? Have you met people who said, you know, I know that this could possibly be what I'm going through, but I'm not sure?
Most people don't know it. Most people think there's something wrong. But they think, you know, I'm not like I'm normally, I'm not sure what's happening, blah, blah, you know. They're not entirely aware themselves.
But I'm speaking
until it's pointed out, basically. Yeah.
Okay, so it's pointed out via until they can connect the dots. Is that what happened to your mum?
Yes. With my mom, yeah. When my brother was born, my mom was about 45 when he was born. And the woman that we saw before that occurrence and the woman after that occurrence were two totally different people.
Yeah.
It was night and day.
Okay. Vanessa, I'm going to
became aware of it in time.
Yeah.
And my mom, to her, she just was not ill and then she was okay.
All right. Vanessa, sorry to interrupt you. We're going to try and get you on your cell because somewhere along the line we have interruptions still. So is it okay if Duncan calls you on your cell? There we're going again. So, okay, Vanessa, I'm going to say goodbye to you on this line so Duncan can get a hold of you on that side. All right, you are on Cliff Central. You're speaking to, what's my name?
Shemaine Harris, and I'm Liesl Tom, and this is Beyond Eyes and Ears. We talk about everything that defies logic at times, about spirit, about heart, about the things that, for me, actually are the most important things. As a journalist, I've worked in current affairs for many, many years, and those weren't the things that excited me. Talking about the unseen, about the spirit, about the heart, that excites me. And that's why Shemaine and I are here, because we share that passion.
Yeah, it's that whole thing of you want to leave something standing, you want to leave someone feeling whole, you want to leave someone with something that they can think about, you know, even if it's like, okay, well, I don't quite agree with that, but I'm very open to hear what you have to say. It's kind of that each to his own type of thing where you go, you know, I never thought of that, but maybe that's why I'm weird, or maybe that's why I reacted that way, or maybe that's why they are like that, and leaving everyone to their own process, because my life is not your life. I might want you to do it the way I do it, or see it the way you know I see it, but it's not going to happen. Duncan has said that Vanessa is back online, so let's go. Liesl, maybe you want to go on.
Hey Vanessa, so in the movie Ghost, when Patrick Swayze's character uses Whoopi Goldberg's character to communicate with his lover, was this a walk-in? Was it a possession? Was it a wanderer? What would you call that?
No, that's just normal being a medium. So she acted as the medium through which he could connect.
So a medium cannot be possessed?
No. A medium is consciously aware of what they're doing. So they're only acting as a bridge between the physical realm and the non-physical.
And why would people want to speak to people on the other side? Let's put it like that.
For various reasons, you know, for a loved one, they miss the person, they are wanting to get closure. Sometimes the dead person wants to communicate with the living because there are messages that they want to convey. Mm-hmm. It depends on the situation. But a lot of people do want to make contact with their deceased loved ones to know that they're all right, to know that they've landed somewhere, for want of a better term. Mm-hmm. You know, nobody likes the idea or the thought of complete annihilation. You don't want to believe that one minute you're here and the next minute you just don't exist anymore, which is not possible within this universe anyway. Everything exists and continues to exist on that multidimensional ladder, if you want to call it. So to know that, you know, someone is still okay, or they've gone to a better place, or whatever. Those are generally the reasons why people want to speak to the deceased.
I'm going to continue with this train of thought, but I do want to come back to the one with your mom, Vanessa, because we got interrupted with that one. But for now, what I do want to because Liesl asked this question and you answered it really in a way that I never thought of it. So when the dead want to connect with you, let's say case in point, I had an experience like that where we were together for a few nights, and then after the third night, you threw your hands up in the air and said, "Listen, there's this woman, and I have to tell you now because she's driving me mad."
Yeah.
And and I said, what? And she's like, "For the past three nights, she's been wanting to talk to you, and she says you're the only one she wants to talk to because you're the one that can, you know, can that will get it." And then she gave family secrets, and I went to verify them, and that's why I knew that this was for sure. But the one thing that happened was where it was the 20th. It was, and look, I'm opening the diary straight on the 20th. It was on the 20th that she said, is it okay then that I come and see? But, you know, because we were going on about her having died and all that. And she said, no, is it okay that I come and see what life would have been had I been in a human body?
Correct. Yep. So that was an interesting event. Yes.
It was very interesting. Even my son was like, "Hello, who are you?" But I mean, I was half conscious, half, you know, I would go into
certain,
very
aware.
Yeah, I would go into certain spaces and be, you know, this is her, and then certain spaces where it was me. So would you then describe me as having been a type of having taken on a form of a medium role?
No, that's called hosting. That's just called hosting.
Okay.
Because that was an aware and conscious exercise where you agreed and invited her.
I did agree because she asked for permission before.
Correct.
And she gave me time to think about it. And then
to
we were like,
"Think about it, yeah."
Okay, yeah.
And to prepare as well.
Yes, and to prepare. And I was dog tired. I couldn't get up the Monday. I only got up the Tuesday because I was so, so very tired. You know what? One of the interesting things that happened on that one was I woke up in the morning, opened my bedroom windows and thought, "Is this it?" And I go, and I'm like, "What is wrong with me? I love my view." And then the second one was that's pertinent was driving, and I went, "Oh my God, I can drive!" And then I was like, "Okay, Shemaine, that's nuts." And then I remembered. And then the third thing that also happened was I bought a whole house full of yellow flowers, and I couldn't understand it. The next day I was like, "Why? Why is the whole house full of yellow flowers?" But the whole house, every room in it had a kitchen and everything. So, okay, so that's hosting. Now, your mum's story. I want to ask you to go back to your mum's story because you were starting to say something that your mother had it after 40, giving birth at 45.
No one expected her to survive it, okay, because generally they believe that you shouldn't be older than 40, basically, to give birth to a normal, healthy child. And anyway, she was 45. And so my brother was born. And my mom was kind of out of it for about a week or two after that. And when she came back, we call it came back, my mother was completely different. I mean, initially, before that, my mom was your typical Piscean. She was very exacting and very strict in the way that she viewed the world and life and what kids are allowed to do and not allowed to do. But when she came back from that, she was the exact opposite. She was so expansive and open and not restrictive in the way we knew her. And it took many years. And I mean, for my brothers and sisters, they didn't quite understand what that was, but I did. And she and I, before my brother was born, my mother and I were like enemies. We fought all the time. And after that, my mother and I became the best of friends, which also was very odd to everyone. So for that relationship, after my brother was born, to the point at which my mom died, it was like a whole different person. And I mean, I really, really loved her. but the one before that I couldn't even get along with. So even though I loved her, I was always angry, always angry.
Right.
And, you know, that was how I became actually clued to doing the work that I do.
Okay. I did want to ask you, you went on with it because I started thinking, oh, well, maybe it was just postpartum blues that changed her or, you know, that kind of thing.
Not at all.
Vanessa, how, and please, I don't mean to be disparaging, but how does the concept of a walk-in differ from what psychiatrists would call a multiple personality disorder or some kind of a mental disorder?
Okay, psychiatry would see that as a MPD, multiple personality disorder, or even just a schizophrenia. But there is a big difference between those conditions in the sense that someone who has truly got an MPD disorder, there are so many totally distinctive elements to each of the personalities as you see them, even though each personality is not aware of the other. With a walk-in, it's a totality. There isn't a splitting of persona from one point to another. That person becomes that new person, and it's done.
Right.
So even where the walk-in is not a permanent space, you are very clear and very aware that you're dealing with a unified personality. It's not mosaic, if you can understand. It's not made up of fragments. It's solid and unified.
Mm-hmm.
So there is a very big difference between the two spaces.
Vanessa, we almost have to, you know, we're running. We've got 5 minutes less mm-hmm. left. So I just want to ask you, there's the body care thing, because people say that the integration between the soul and the body sometimes can be quite traumatic. So for someone who's maybe listening, what would you say, what kind of body care should they, try and cultivate almost so that the integration could be a little smoother in terms of health and mental stability?
First and foremost, it's about ownership. The understanding that the body you have is a vehicle that you are consistently creating from one moment to the next. So owning that is important. And most people, particularly women, do not fully own their body, so they don't fully occupy anyway. That's also why the possibility of walking happens, because human beings almost want to disengage from their body ownership. So that's the first element. The second element is when you're feeling kind of out of sorts and not quite all there, water is your best bet. So run a bath, put in whatever essences you feel soothed by, and then just stay there for as long as you can. You know, 45 minutes and beyond is a good timer. Mm. That helps the soul reseat itself, because technically the soul is not occupied inside the body. It's occupied around the body.
Mm.
Okay? And there's a big difference between that and an aura, but that's a conversation for another day.
Another day.
Yeah. Another thing you can do is when you're in the water, put about 3 cups of sea salt. Because sea salt is one of the most amazing elements we have on this planet in terms of the cleansing and the clearing and also the maintaining of a solid face as a being. So we will also talk about that at some other point, I'm sure.
Vanessa,
the various uses of salt. So
I have to say, your answer just folds in so beautifully with the last few minutes we have left, that we want to talk about cleansing yourself and clearing space. Now, you've touched on cleansing yourself. I'm sure there are many other ways, but how do you clear your space of negative energy?
But
I wanted
to finish, though, Lee, if you don't mind. I want you to finish that thought, Vanessa, on how to cleanse your body so that we can walk away and say, okay, that's done. So I want you to put a pin to it, and then we've got another minute and a half for the space.
For space. Okay, the regular, just to take regular salt baths, say, do it as a once-a-month ritual, really, where you use salt. So you run a bath, you put in 3 cups of salt and some lavender oil or rose oil or whatever essence you enjoy, you just have a salt bath. That generally clears everything, okay? If you have a problem where you're feeling something internal, salt is also a good thing, but what salt does is it makes you nauseous, so you're going to spew out what is being held within, and that's also a good process. Don't do that too often, though, because it's quite a violent process. So once every 3 months is good for that.
To drink salt?
You take a tablespoon of salt in half a glass of lukewarm water. Sea salt, always sea salt. Table salt is a fake substance. It's not real.
Mm-hmm.
It's a chemical that's created in a lab. So sea salt is a natural substance, so use that. Himalayan salt is also good because it's natural.
Yes.
So you take a tablespoon in a half a glass of lukewarm water.
Okay. And then you
drink it, and then you allow your body to expel it.
Now let's move on quickly. We have a minute for clearing your space.
Space clearing, mm-hmm. every once in a while. Don't do it where you have carpets. If you have no carpets, it's easier. You take sea salt in a cup or in your hand, and you just fling it into the room so that it's on the surface of the floor, basically. And you leave it for a couple of hours, and then you vacuum it all up. That also clears space. And then once you've done that, you keep a saucer or a little bowl of salt mm-hmm. on the highest point in the room. If you have, like, say you have a cabinet or a cupboard or whatever, put it at the highest point of the cupboard. It'll absorb negative energy out of the space.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. We have to stop there. Forever Vanessa, 358@gmail.com. If you have any more questions for Forever Vanessa, 358@gmail.com. I'm Shemaine Harris.
And I'm Liesl Tom. And this was Beyond Eyes and Ears.
And thank you to our producer, Mr. Duncan Mabaso. Peace out.
It's your special guest host on CliffCentral.com.
One teenage daughter. Plus
four of my besties
to the power of
totes sleepover
plus multiplied by
lols
plus
YOLO
plus
babe
plus
ratchet
plus
group selfie
multiplied by
hashtag squad game still wrong
plus
ugh dad you're so embarrassing
plus
I wanna do whatever I
equals the irritation of just one single mosquito buzzing around your head. Fortunately, you plus peaceful sleep room spray equals death to that irritation.
Cliff Central.
Revolution.
I've got something important to tell you.
CliffCentral.com.